that we are now over 25% of the Earth's population. And while the European countries now have zero birth rate, sometimes below zero, our families are getting larger and larger. A study was done of the Muslim Ummah, and it found that the majority of Muslims are teenagers and children, and that 43% of the Muslim world are 5 years old and under. So if we were to take all of the Muslims and put them on one field, we would find that the majority of the Muslims are children. This is the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala working, planting the seeds for the future of the growth of the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. But what came through in this study is the fact that Muslims are now in strategic positions throughout the planet. Strategic waterways, strategic coastlines, strategic deserts. Over 50% of the mineral wealth lies under our countries. Some of the richest people on earth are Muslims. But at the same time, there is a contradiction. With the great wealth that we have, there is also great poverty in our ummah. There are some countries where the people have some of the highest standards in the world, and other countries where it's the lowest. Our refugee population is the largest refugee population on earth. People forced to leave their countries and to find another home without making a choice themselves, but being forced out of their homelands. And so the contradiction of wealth and poverty, the contradiction of military power, many of our nations have missiles, have great standing armies, but yet we still have to hear about humiliation in Bosnia, Kosovo, Chechnya. Now we have to watch the scenes of children being killed in Palestine. There's a vehicle, ND7S761. Please move. Now we have to hear about Palestine. And those young boys who are throwing stones and standing up against the power of Israel and America, they are throwing those stones not only for themselves, but they're throwing stones for us. And they have reached a stage where they no longer fear death. This is a maqam. This is a maqam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we see the children die in that state, we should not cry for them, because Allah has written them, inshallah, as shuhada. And the mawqif, the stance of the shaheed, is a special stance in Islam. That the shaheed will not feel the pain of his death. And the first blood coming out of his body, his sins are forgiven. He will see his place in Jannah. And so when we see those children die, we should not cry for them, but we should cry for ourselves. Where will we stand if the gun is facing our own face? And so we are at a critical point in Islamic history, in a major contradiction. And we need to now reanalyze our position with each other and our position with the kafirun. Because we will be responsible in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection. By the mercy of Allah, many of our people in America who were captured from West Africa and taken to the Americas, Canada, United States, West Indies, South America, many of them died on the shores of Africa. Many died fighting on the boats. Some of them jumped off the boats. Slave revolts broke out all throughout the Americas. And the majority of these revolts were led by Muslims. In 1835, in Brazil, Muslims from west coast of Africa fought a jihad led by ulama, and they defeated the Portuguese. They were so powerful that the Portuguese gave them boats, and many of them returned to Africa. And you can now find masjids in Lagos called Brazilian Mosque. In Suriname, Dutch Guyana, South America, a great revolt was led by the Bush Blacks. The leader's name was Arabi, and his general was named Zamzam, like Zamzam water. They liberated the interior of Dutch Guyana, and that land is liberated up until now. In Jamaica, a great revolt was led by the Muslims, Maroons, which we are now tracing to Gambia, to a tribe in Gambia of the Maroon people. And it is found around 1825, a document called Al-Wathiqa was being passed between the slaves in classical Arabic language, calling for jihad. There was a great revolt in Jamaica. This document is linked to the works of a great scholar, Sheikh Uthman Denfodio, Rahimahullah, in Sokoto in West Africa. In the Bahamas, in the Virgin Islands, in Panama, even in Mexico, traces are now coming to the surface of Muslims who were struggling for their identity. In the United States itself, there were millions of Muslims who were captured and taken there. Now they are finding whole Qurans written by the Muslims, great scholarly texts. But the pain of slavery, the separation of father from mother, it was not permissible to be speaking Arabic or fasting in Ramadan or practicing Islam at all. And so the pain of slavery reached the Muslims and we lost our faith. Now after 400 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed that we would enter into Islam afwaja in large numbers. Now, because of the prison system, where the prisons of America are mostly populated by African Americans and Hispanic people and Native Americans, it is the majority, and Islam is spreading rapidly to the point where last year it is estimated that over 300,000 people took shahada inside of the prisons and in the streets of America. This is a new phase in our history. It is a change that is coming about, as the change that is also coming about here in South Africa, where the poor and the oppressed are crying out for Islam, are crying out for somebody who will stand for them under oppression, who will teach them this message, who will bring them the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we the Muslims have a great responsibility. It is a dignity, it is an honor in the eyes of Allah that we could be of those people who would carry this message, this risala, to people who have not heard this. There are no more prophets to come. And if we are waiting for the Mahdi, we probably won't see him in our life. And so it is on us to take this message. But sometimes it seems very difficult, very depressing when you read the news. You see Muslims under attack. Muslims are in jail. Muslims are in struggles. But when we look at the great Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they used to say, when the battle is hot, and especially they mentioned Hunayn, when the enemy had surrounded them, and you could feel the breath, you could sense the heat from the breath of your enemy, eye to eye, they would say, we would take refuge in Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. We would take refuge in him at that point. And at this point in time, when the heat is on us, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, the time would come when al-qabid ala dini kal-qabid ala jamra, that the one who would hold on to his religion would be like one holding on to hot coals. And so the pressure is on, and we seek refuge in the Messenger of Allah, alayhi afdal salatu wasalam. And in a hadith which is not so well known by our community, but which a great Syrian scholar found in Jami al-Jawami', and which has been an inspiration for many of us who are under pressure, who are struggling and find themselves under the gun. The Prophet ﷺ left a wasiyah. He left an inheritance for this ummah. And he gave it through Ali ibn Abi Talib, karramallahu wajha. And in this hadith, Ali reports, when I took possessions of the weapons of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, I found in the hilt of the sword, there was a parchment. Now, he obviously was not lettered, but he knew that Ali could read and write. So he left for him a parchment in the hilt of the sword. And Ali says, it said the following, Sil men qata'aka wa ahsan ila men asa'a ilayk wa qul al-haq wa law ala nafsik. Three axioms which we need to take refuge in these times when people are attacking us or they call us fundamentalists. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, and this is a weapon now. It's a weapon. What do people usually write on their weapons? Born to kill. Or they curse their enemies. This is the Messenger of Allah. They call us fundamentalists. What would he write on the sword? He said, Sil men qata'aka. Make relations with those who cut you off. Two, wa ahsan ila man asa'a ilayk, and do good even to those who harm you. Wa qul al-haq walaw ala nafsik, and speak the truth even if it is against yourself. These are three important axioms for us. Number one, that we need to keep relationships with people. Although the times are difficult, we need to keep relations. And we need to open up relations with this community around us so that they can hear the words of Allah. They can feel the character of Islam. And especially those who may have had difficulty with somebody in their family, with somebody who said something against them. Even another Muslim from Ahlul Qibla. What is happening to us today in many communities, we are breaking into faction upon faction upon faction and Jamaat and Jamaat. In Toronto, when I first embraced Islam around 1970, and I used to travel in Jamaat with a man called Colonel Amiruddin, may Allah give him strength. I was very close to his family, and he gave me his turban and his khuffay, and we traveled together to Sheffield. That was in the big ijtima back 1972. And so, at that time in Toronto, there was two masjids. Either you go to the eastern side, to the Islamic Foundation, or you go to the Jami Mosque. Then, this mentality came in, and now, there must be over 50 masjids in Toronto. Every time I go back, there's 10 more masjids. And now, the Somalis, the Pakistanis, the Arabs, the Turks, the Guyanese, the Trinidadians. Everybody wants a masjid for their own community, and sometimes they want a masjid for a man and his wife and his children. Everybody wants a masjid now. Wal-iyadu billah. This is one of the signs of Qiyamah. And so, the Prophet ﷺ told us, make relations with those who cut you off. Many of our jamaats, a person has said something against us. They have differed in their opinion with us. But they are Ahlul Qibla. How will we deal with that person? Now we have reached the point where a person even came and they came and they said to me very clearly, can a Shafi'i marry a Hanafi? I said, brother, are we Christians? What religion is this, man? The ulama and fuqaha were teachers and students of each other, all of them. And they did not come to create different religions, but to support each other, and above all, to support the sunnah. And so when a person is within the Zumrah of Islam, within this group, they are the people of the Qibla. And we need to now make relations even with people who have cut us off. We are reaching a danger point where we will be killed not because of the Jamaat that we're in. We will be killed because we're Muslims. And in the battlefield, when we're fighting the Kafirun, and a Muslim is on your side fighting the Kafirun, you don't have time to turn around and say, "What madhab are you?" You're not going to ask him that, man. Is Ahlul Qibla next to you? He's got wudu. He says, "Kalima la ilaha illallah, anna Muhammad Rasulullah." Sallallahu. This is your brother. This is the stage that we are reaching. Make relations with those who cut you off. Number two, and do good even if they harm you. This is an important principle. If they call us fundamentalists, they talk against our religion, it doesn't mean that you don't stand up. It doesn't mean that you don't defend Islam. You might even kill somebody, but you don't kill him for yourself. You don't kill him because you hate him, but you take him because he's of his kufa and because of what he has done in the path of Islam. So no matter what the situation is, it is the character. It is Islamic character which has been the most important element in spreading this Islam and making it strong in the nations of the world. And the last principle, this is a principle of conflict resolution that we have within our community. Speak the truth even if it is against yourself. We speak the truth if it's for us. But if another Muslim is there and he's correct, will we say, "You are correct and I am wrong"? That is the strong person. That is the high mind. That is the alim. The one who says, "La adri, I don't know, you are correct." Because this is not about personality. This is not about power. This is about being servants of Allah and being humble followers of Rasulullah. And so I leave you with these words, and I pray that Allah would protect this Jamaat and this community. Allah would protect your families and your children from the fitna outside in this street. And this fitna is reaching the point where the Qawmul Lut, they are marching and they are entering all fields of the society. In Toronto right now, when I was there, the community was in shock. Because the government now, in the Board of Education, wants to teach homosexuality in all levels of education to the children. They want to teach homosexuality in math class, in chemistry. And so you teach math and you say, "Johnny and George did their math problem together." Well, iyadu billah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "وَإِذَا كَثَرَتُ الْلُوتِيَّةُ رَفَعَ اللَّهُ يَدَهُ عَنَ الْخَلْقِ فَلَا يُبَالِي فِي أَيِّ وَادٍ هَلَكُ." If this homosexuality becomes widespread, Allah would raise His hand from creation, and He would not care in which valley they are destroyed. And so it is coming. We will have to make a stand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our tongues strong. May Allah make our hearts firm in these times. And may Allah unite us and give us the strength to stand up for this message. I leave you with the words of Allah, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is better in speech than one who calls to Allah and does good deeds, and he says, "Surely I am from the Muslims"? May Allah make our last words our best words. May Allah make our last words كَلِمَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala khatib al-anbiya'i wa mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana li hadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah.
ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع ربنا اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين وانصر عبادك يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم انصر المجاهدين في فلسطين وفي مسجد الأقصى وفي تشيتنيا وفي كشمير وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين سبحان ربك رب العزة يا ما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.